Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. As we celebrate Christmas with its hustle and bustle, its merriment and joy, we need to take a few minutes to remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Our God is an amazing God, and even though he sometimes throws difficult circumstances into our lives, we often learn that the adversity we face leads us to places we never would have explored otherwise. My guest today, Kathy McKinsey, is an author who has overcome the obstacle of limited vision that eventually led to total blindness. She has used her experience to benefit others, serving as a vision rehabilitation therapist and a Library of Congress certified Braille transcriber and Braille proofreader. She earned a bachelor's degree in counseling from the University of Missouri Columbia and a master's in rehabilitation teaching of the blind from the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. Kathy was published as a teenager and now, after more than 30 years of little writing, has returned to it again, fulfilling one of her biggest life dreams. She writes Christian fiction to show how God's grace continues to save us every day after we first become Christians, and shares humorous stories about being blind, sometimes stumbling, but always managing to get up. Kathy is the author of two books to date, her first, a women's fiction work entitled All My Tears, and her most recent publication, a children's Christmas story entitled Millie's Christmas. Good morning and welcome to the show, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it's really fun to have you here, Kathy. As you and I have talked briefly, we first met through American Christian Fiction Writers, and I did an interview with you, which was a lot of fun. But what I learned from you there kind of sparked my interest in bringing you on the show. Part of that is because I know that you are experiencing blindness. You've experienced visual impairment most of your life. And my mom also was legally blind. So I have a pretty good idea of what that's like. And even though I'm able to drive and do things like that, I still have some visual impairment as well. So I just kind of felt a connection with you. And it's really, really exciting to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you. I'm excited too.
Kathy, tell us what kind of childhood experiences influenced you to become a writer, and also what kind of a Christian background do you have? Did you grow up in a Christian home, or did the Christian life become a part of you later on? And I know that you had some childhood experiences as a writer, so share with us.
Sure. Well, my parents always took us to church, so I'm really grateful for that. I became a Christian when I was 17, but I've had times of, you know, wandering and having to come back and to God, and have a lot of stories about that. I always loved storytelling and reading too, as far as, you know, what made me interested in being a writer. My mother, you know, we lived on a farm, and my mom worked right along with my dad. Plus, she had four kids. Plus, until they got teacher's assistance for me in school, she helped me with all of my homework. So she was a very busy lady, but she would read to me if I found books that I wanted to have her read to me, because, you know, I just loved them, and she would be really tired at night, especially if we had homework to do, and just because she had so much work to do. But she still read to me, and I really appreciated that. And I started writing stories probably, maybe I was 9 or 10 years old. I don't remember exactly, but I remember that I wrote, because I was able to see well enough to read large print until I was about, 8 or 9. I could read large print, but I know that I wrote stories sometimes, hand wrote them, that I wasn't able to read. So I was probably about 9 or 10, because I remember having a friend on the bus read them to me. Sometimes I would ask her to read my stories to me. But then I learned to read Braille and write Braille when I was 11. And that was just a big deal in my life, because then I could read all I wanted to without having to ask my mom to do it, and as well as write things down, because I also learned to type as well as to write Braille. And so then I was just off and running, reading and writing by that time.
That's quite amazing, Kathy, because I know that from experience with my mom, sadly, I never took the time to learn Braille. I wish I had, but I do know from experience with mom that it takes a lot of study to really master that language, because of course, it's based on the system of the six dots and all that, but it's like there's a lot more to it than just each letter has its own combination. There's a whole bunch of contractions and rules, and of course you know that, but to master that at a young age is amazing.
Well, you know, truthfully, I think it's easier to learn as a child than adults. I've been a Braille teacher as well, and I know that it's hard for adults to learn it. I have two children who are totally blind, and both of them started learning, you know, when they were preschool, and learned it quickly, because you know how children are who have maybe two languages, you know, their parents have a different language than English, and they're able to learn both languages when they're little because their brains are just so flexible still. And personally, I myself was just so anxious to be able to read that, you know, I really worked hard at it because of that.
Well, yeah, and that makes absolutely perfect sense to Kathy. I don't think that my mom started learning Braille until she went to high school, because she did okay with her studies in the lower grades, but when she got to high school, she just couldn't do it anymore, and she went to the New York Institute for the Education of the Blind, and I believe that's where she learned her Braille.
Right.
But I can remember as a kid, she had a stack of probably six or seven books, you know, on Braille and all the different rules and contractions and things, and it's like, wow, I sometimes regret that I did not follow up and learn that language.
Yeah, you're right. Many rules, especially for, you said she was a transcriber.
Yeah.
And for transcribers, there's even way more rules, because they have to make sure that everything is done just exactly right with lining and spacing and all the punctuation rules, how they are placed in the with the words and letters and stuff, things that the readers don't necessarily think about, you know. So that was a great task that she did, being a transcriber.
I remember that well, because both my sister and I spent a lot of time sitting there at the kitchen table and reading to her while she did the transcript. She had the Braille writer. You're familiar with that, with the keys. She had the Braille writer, and she would be transcribing. Of course, we were reading to her, and like you said, you have to tell her every little bit of punctuation and every capital word and every new paragraph and all this, and she'd do three or four pages at a time, and then she would go back and proofread it, and if she had made a mistake on page one, it would start all over again, because it was going to throw all the rest of it off, you know. So, oh yeah, I have many memories of those days.
Right.
Kathy, you were a teen when your first work was published, and that's kind of unusual, although I have to say I really enjoyed for a while. I was an editor of a magazine that was written for kids by kids, and it was a lot of fun. So I know there's teens out there that are very excited at the prospect of getting published. So tell us how that happened for you.
Well, I don't remember exactly, because I had things published in several magazines when I was a teenager. And so I don't remember which one exactly was first. And it was probably when I was about 16 that the first thing was published. But I had poems published in a church magazine that we got at our church, as well as the old American Girl. I think there might be a newer American Girl magazine now, but this was an older one, as well as a story published in a teen magazine called Accent on Youth. But most of the things that I got published were in a magazine for the blind called Dialogue. Found it somehow and started reading it, and I saw that they accepted stories, you know, or articles from readers. So I started sending things in there and had a good handful, I think maybe about 9 things published when I was, before I went away to college and kind of stopped writing. So in there, and that was just such a big help to me because, you know, they wanted to help writers find their, you know, get their start in writing. And so that was great. And then once I came back to writing again a few years ago, I started reading that magazine again too and had some more articles published in it. So Dialogue Magazine for the Blind was, they are not publishing anymore right now. They may again someday if they're able to come up with the funding for it, but I'm just filled with gratitude for them kind of helping me start writing and continue writing.
It sounds like you had some really good mentorship there, Kathy, and that's wonderful. Well, you went on to college and you took a long break from writing, and what was going on during that period of time in your life? And I could probably guess, but
right.
Raising 5 kids.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I kind of am sorry now that I didn't write more even during those times, because that is, as you know, a big thing that writers are told to do is to try to write, even if it's just a few minutes every day. So I'm kind of sorry about that, but it was, you know, I went to college and then I had a job and got married and went to graduate school and then had kids and then went back to work. And so, you know, my time was just very, very filled up with things. And then about 7.5 years ago, I had to quit working because of health reasons. And I told myself, because I had always said, oh, I'll get back to writing when I retire. You know, I'd always said that over the years. And I thought, well, even though I wasn't really retired, I was quitting work because of health reasons. I thought, well, it was just, you know, I really felt God told me, you know, it would just be silly if I didn't use this time to write. So that's when I started back again.
It's always good to hear about a writer that returns to the craft, because I think it's something that's almost in the blood.
Exactly, yeah.
Once you get bit by that bug, it doesn't let go.
Exactly.
Kathy, what kind of obstacles did you run across when you went back to writing? Was it really difficult for you to get back into all of the technology that we have today and the things that probably were not so prevalent back when you were submitting?
Right. I'm embarrassed to think about it now, that back when I was a teenager, you know, I just had a manual typewriter and I would make mistakes, and I sometimes caught them and sometimes didn't. And sometimes even if I did, I just ignored them, and I would send up all these stories with mistakes in them and stuff. And I just didn't care, you know? And so when I got back to writing, by that time I had learned to use a computer at my job.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew how to use a computer. And that, I think, is just such a gift from God for people who are disabled, you know, the computers that we have today, because just so much that I'm able to do, you know, even though I'm blind, with the computer, and as much as people with other disabilities also, how much it's able. So as frustrating as using a computer can be sometimes, and we all know that they can be frustrating, you know, I just think it's such a gift from God for people with disabilities, you know, to be able to do things with computers.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm sure that there's special programs for you with your visual impairment that I'm sure everything on your screen more or less talks to you.
Exactly, right, exactly.
You've worked as a vision rehabilitation therapist. Tell us a little bit about what some of the techniques are you use to help blind people adapt to the world around them, Kathy.
Sure. So as a rehab teacher, which is what I always called it, that's what they called it when I went to school for it, and then they changed later to rehabilitation therapist. We taught independent living skills for people. It was mostly for adults that I worked with, some teens. Sometimes it was people who had been blind from birth, and sometimes it was people who, most of the time, it was newly people who had newly lost their vision. And we taught Braille, keyboarding skills, you know, regular computer keyboard typing and other keyboarding skills, using teaching people how to use either large print on their computers or the screen reading program, which is what I use. We would, you know, work with people on using that, where we have a program that reads what's showing on the screen to you. But besides all of that, we just taught a lot of daily living skills, as far as techniques to use for cooking and cleaning and labeling things around your house so that you know your toothpaste from the tube of medicine, or what, you know, ways of labeling your medication so that you could know for sure what you were taking there, labeling your clothing so you know which garments were okay to wear together, just a lot of that kind of stuff. And more than anything, trying to just encourage people that they, you know, they could still do most of what they needed to do in their lives independently with some special techniques and that sort of thing. So just encouraging people and trying to help them to get that kind of confidence back.
Yeah, and it's quite amazing what they have for people today. I know I can remember my mom back in the day used to get the old-fashioned talking books. Of course, now we have CDs and all that, but they were big, heavy metal, I think, boxes that came, you know, with those talking books, and she used to listen. And then, of course, now, you know, everything is just so much more compact than it was back in the dark when I was growing up. But, yeah, there's a lot of different things that are available for blind people, and it really is quite wonderful.
Yeah, it really is.
Kathy, I should know this from my mom being certified by the Library of Congress as a transcriber, but I don't really remember. What kind of training is required to obtain that certification?
So you go through a class that's 19 lessons where they are working with, because most of the people who take the classes are sighted, so they start with just teaching Braille, and then all of the rules that go with putting those into documents. So there's 19 lessons that you go through by mail. When I did it, it was still by mail. Now a lot of the times it can be done by computer, although you still have to learn to do it as though you were typing on the Braille writer that you talked about, which has six keys for the six dots that are used in Braille.
Right.
You can do that now on a computer as well, just using the home row, six keys on the home row of the computer, using it as though you were typing on a Braille writer, so that can be done. There are also programs that work for transcribing Braille from print documents into Braille documents, but you have to learn how to do it first with just the six keys. Make sure that you're able to do that, and then also learn how to proofread it, whether you put the documents in with six key functions or whether you just type it and then use these translating programs. You have to be able to proofread it and make sure that it's all correct. So there's 19 of those lessons. Then the 20th lesson is a book document. You have to produce a 35-page book with also front pages, the title page and contents and any other kind of front matter there is before the book starts. You have to produce 35 plus pages for your final test project. And that is very, very hard to do. I mean, I was a Braille user for probably 40 years already by the time I started taking this class. So I knew, and I was a Braille teacher, so I knew Braille really well, but to do it without any errors on a Braille writer, which is what I used, not a computer, without any errors, it's really hard, because you know that with a computer, of course we all make errors, but you can, you know, delete them and backspace and it's just gone. I mean, it's wonderful, but doing on a Braille writer was really time consuming, because I remember how many times I got down to the third or fourth line from the bottom and made a mistake. So I had, like you were saying with your mom, you had to start all over again and do the whole page all over again. Or if you didn't notice it until you proofread later, you might have to do more than one page all over again. So, I mean, it was very time consuming and difficult, but, you know, I was able to do it, because once you, and I like to tell people, being a Braille user and everything, I had to redo it. You know, if you, they'll allow you to make so many errors. They count one or two or three points for errors, and right. You have to get an 80%, an 80 points to pass. And I had like 78 or 9 or something, 77 on the first one. Yes, so I had to redo it. Now, the second time, you only have to do 25 pages, not 35, but still, you know, so it's a very time-consuming process. And so that's what it is.
Oh, it's, oh my goodness, it just sounds really, really complicated, Kathy. And like I said, I can't remember what my mom did back then to get her certification. But I will tell you something interesting about the fact that, I mean, I used to know all the combinations of all the letters.
Right.
Like I know that A is dot one and B is dot, what, 1-3 or 1-2 or something like that?
1-2, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But even today, I have such a knowledge of the numeric value of every letter of the alphabet. You know, like
right.
I know right away that J is 10 and T is 20 and P is 16. And
right, right.
I'm telling people this, but when I do my passwords for my whatever on the computer,
right.
I always use that numeric, I give that
right,
numeric,
right.
You know, assignment to my letters, and that makes it a lot easier for me to remember. So
right,
that's just
right.
like drilled in my head, those, and people look at me like, what do you mean that, you know, L is 12? It's like,
right.
I just know that.
Exactly.
Kathy, you have been a blind person, and you have worked with blind people for a considerable amount of time in your life. Have you discovered any unique characteristics of blind people that sighted people may not possess?
You know, truth is, blind people are just plain folks, you know? And I know you know that, but I mean, I think that's the thing that blind people really want sighted people to understand, is that they're just plain folks like everybody else. I mean, there are those who are what you might call super blind people, who can just do techniques so well and, you know, are geniuses, and I'm not one of those. And then there are other people who are, you know, not perfect or not geniuses, or, you know, just kind of run-of-the-mill everyday people. And I mean, not really anything different than there is with anybody. You know, people who are blind are just regular people who have families and have jobs and just do the same thing that anybody does.
Right, but I have heard, I guess maybe this is what I was looking for, I have heard that people that are blind have a heightened ability with their other senses, like hearing
yes.
and touch and
people
things like
have
that.
Said that, right. People have said that, and you know, that don't really think that most of the time that's true as far as their other senses being magnified. I think mm-hmm. what it is that you learn to pay attention to your other senses more. So you learn to use your sense of touch more and focus on that and hearing. You know, you learn to pay attention to what you hear more because you have to. You know, and so you
yes.
learn to teach yourself to use your other senses more than you would have had to if you weren't visually impaired.
Yeah, that's probably very true, Kathy. Well, at this point, we're going to take a short break. It's not really a break. I just kind of remind listeners that they are listening to Step Into the Light with your host, Patty Sheen. Today, I am honored to have guest Kathy McKenzie. Kathy is an author. She has authored 2 books to date. Her first one is called All My Tears. We'll be talking about that in a while. And her second one is called Millie's Christmas, and it's a children's Christmas story. Kathy is a unique author in that she is visually impaired, totally blind at this point, in fact, and we have been discussing that fairly much at length. I have a little bit of a tie to that with my mom, who was legally blind, so we've enjoyed talking about that and about her writing and her writing history. Kathy can be found on her website at kathymckenzie.com. She also has a Facebook page and a Twitter page. I will refer my listeners to my webpage, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And there you will be able to listen to this show again if you would like to, or hopefully refer others to it, friends and family that you think might be interested in what we have talked about today. You'll find a listing of all the shows there, and under each show, there is a tab called More Information, and that's where you will find the link to Kathy's website and social media, and same for all of the guests on the various shows. So if you go to pattysheen.com, there's a Blog Talk Radio tab at the top. You can't miss it. When you click on that, that gives you the listing of all these shows. So I'd like to get back to Kathy and our interview this morning. Kathy, as you know, the premise of this show is for people who have either been in a dark place and found their way back to light to share that experience, or I bring guests on the show who lead others from darkness to light through their ministries, their writing, whatever. I wondered if you would share a dark time in your life and how you found your way back to light. And for you, it's a physical darkness as well as a perhaps an emotional darkness. So if you would share that with us.
Well, there are different things. I mean, times, like I said before, where I walked away from God and had to come back more than once, unfortunately. But I think the story that has really touched me the most, the thing that happened, is, like I said, 7.5 years ago, I had an accident where I had a brain injury. I fell down some basement stairs in a strange house, and I had a brain injury. I was in the hospital in rehab for 6 weeks and wasn't able to return to work. And I've had a lot of kind of extra disabilities that were added besides the blindness, memory loss, trouble finding words and sentences, hearing loss, which, you know, we were just talking about how hearing can be so much more important for people who have sight problems. You know, I have a fairly significant hearing loss now, and I went into just a real deep depression after that time, because as a blind person, you know, trying to make myself feel competent because of a disability all my life, I really tried hard to work hard to be capable, both in school and in having a job and in raising my kids and taking care of a house and just all those things. I worked really hard to feel that I was still competent and capable. And with this, especially the first few years after my accident, I was just not able to do a lot. I wasn't able to help my kids much. They were mostly grown by then. Our youngest child was in high school at the time, and we had three children who were in college at that time, and then our oldest son was working at that time. But, you know, I just didn't feel like I was able to help them much. I couldn't help with our, you know, our home finances because I couldn't work. I wasn't able to do a lot of stuff around the house anymore because of balance problems and just exhaustion, you know. And it's even now I can't work as many hours a day because of that. That still lingers. And so just that was just all just a real, like I said, I went through a real time of depression. And like I said, I really think it was a gift from God that I started thinking about getting back into writing, with writing and, like I said, in the magazine Dialogue, I was able to publish some more articles. And after, you know, almost 7 years, I was actually able to get a book published and then another book in the same year. Also, I started being able to help doing some editing for other writers, because I believe the reason that I'm able to is because when you listen to a document, you catch a lot of things that you might not catch reading it in proofreading. My own publisher tells her authors to, you know, my publisher is Mantle Rock Publishing. My publisher, Kathy Kretzinger, who heads Mantle Rock Publishing, she tells her authors to all read their documents aloud or listen to them on some kind of a speech, you know, screen reading program on a computer. Does make it possible for you to catch a lot of things that you might not just reading quickly visually through it. And so I was able to start editing for other writers as well as writing. And in the writing, I was able to share some things about how God had his grace, you know, had really saved me through sinful times in my life, where he really had rescued me and forgiven me, and how, you know, even Christians are able to find forgiveness from God again, and be brought back to God again. And so I was able to write some stories, and hopefully will continue to be able to show that. And so, you know, over these past 7.5 years, I've come to believe that, you know, I am still able to be useful. That has been just such a gift to me from God.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea, Kathy, that you had experienced something like that. Here, I was going to focus on your visual impairment. You know, you've been through so much more than that. Oh, my goodness. In fact, I was going to ask you how your visual impairment has challenged and strengthened your faith, but it sounds like you really learned a lot, even more, through this experience, that fall and everything that you went through. And, oh, my goodness. And like you say, you may not have even done a lot of the things that you're doing today if it hadn't been for that. You know,
I mean,
sometimes we come back and we say, wow, you know, that's why that happened. And it's quite amazing the way it all comes together in the long run. And, of course, that's all God's plan.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Kathy. My goodness, I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, it really has. It's very true what you said. I mean, a lot of the things that have happened for me and that I found myself able to do wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for the accident. So God really used that terrible thing in all of my family's life, because it was terrible for all of them too, going through that. But it's really used it, you know, for some good.
Definitely. Well, Kathy, I'm most excited to have you share with our listeners about your books. Your first book was entitled All My Tears. What was your motivation for writing that book, and what is the takeaway for readers?
what I mostly write most of the time is women's fiction, and just stories about women. Not always, but most of the time are women who are already Christians, but who go through struggles and falling away and then coming back to God. And I wanted to share those stories to show that, you know, God does forgive us, and, you know, if we turn back to Him. And like the prodigal son, you know, God is watching for us to come back and running to greet us as soon as we make one little step. And that's basically the takeaway that I wanted people to find in that story, is that God loves you, and that He's, you know, even when you turn away from Him, He's waiting for you to come back and runs to greet you, and, you know, just wants you to be His child.
If I recall correctly, Kathy, All My Tears is about five different women with basically five different problems. Is it five different stories in one book, or is it all one story focusing on these five ladies?
Good question. Yes, it is five novellas, five separate stories. Right.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't too sure. So I just wanted to clarify that for readers. And I think I'm going to need to order that book. I've seen you about it a couple of times for ACFW. And now, of course, we're mentioning it here. It's like, aha, that's one that needs to go on my TBR list.
Thank you.
Your latest release is Millie's Christmas. And that's kind of quite different from All My Tears. And it is a children's book. You wrote it from a unique point of view, so I will let you share with us what you did with that and
right.
Where you got that idea from, and how did Millie's Christmas come about?
That was really just a special gift to me that God gave to me, that story, because like I said, normally I write for adults, you know, right, women's fiction, but I was... You know, one of the things that writers often struggle with is what we talked about earlier, is writing every day. And I was mostly trying to find some kind of a project to make myself, you know, encourage myself to write every day. And it was December at that time. And so I thought, well, I should just write a, you know, Christmas story of some kind. And I don't know what reminded me, but I thought about a story I had written when my kids were little about a family of dogs, and told from the point of view of a puppy. And my daughter Rebecca had told me how much she really liked that story, and I liked that and remembered that. And so I thought, well, I'll just write a story from the point of view of a kitten, a family kitten, you know. And I really, most of the time, writers talk about whether they write by a lot of, you know, what do they call it, pantsers or...
plotters. Yeah.
Plotters, exactly, thank you. Whether you're that, and mostly I'm a pantser, you know, I don't outline everything in my books ahead of time, but I do have a basic, real basic outline, and I know what's basically going to happen and how it's going to end and all of that from the beginning, even if I don't have the story all worked out in my head. But this time I just didn't, you know, I just sat down and started writing just what came into my head, at least for the first, you know, few days or so, just, you know, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, you know, there was this sweet little story about a family and their dog and cats and family with a problem, you know, all families have problems, and how they were able to work through that problem together and still celebrate Christmas and emphasize Jesus as the main reason for Christmas. And it's really one of my favorite stories of all of my own stories. So that's how it happened.
Kathy, what other projects do you have in mind?
I'm working on a third book, which will probably come out in 2021. Two came out this year that I've been working on for 5 years, so it took me that long to get them done. But The next one is going to be another collection of novellas of women fiction stories. I'm working on that now. One of them, I kind of challenged myself with a couple of things with them. One of them was about a farm. You know, that was the setting for it, since I grew up on a farm. And I've lived in cities now for almost 40 years, but, well, for over 40 years now. But you know, I thought it'd be kind of fun to try to write one that took place on a farm. And then also I'm trying to write one from the point of view of a person who is blind. I've never tried to do that before, and it's more difficult than you would think, because I don't do a lot of description in my stories as far as colors and a lot of visual stuff, but I do some, and I have the people are able to see things, which is a lot easier to do than trying to do it from the point of view of somebody who can't see, which sounds strange since I'm blind, but it really is, you know, difficult. Yeah. I'm kind of trying to challenge myself a few ways in these new stories also. So,
well,
so like I said,
good.
That's, yeah.
Really interesting, Kathy. Well, it's about time for us to wind down here. Is there anything you would like to mention that you wish I had asked you and I just didn't, and you're thinking, man, I wish you'd asked me about that?
I don't know. I think just to repeat to people that, you know, God loves you, and why he gave us his son, and that's what Christmas is all about. And for those people who are already Christians, and all of us who are, know that there are times that, you know, we do things that we sure didn't wish we hadn't done, and just to remember that God loves you and he wants to welcome you back.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for that, and thank you for sharing so much with us. It's been a joy to have you here today, and I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, and God bless you.
Well, thank you. Same to you.
To our listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you so much for being with us today. We hope that you will go to Kathy's website, KathyMcKenzie.com, and also go to my website, which is, again, PattySheen.com, PattySheen.com. And there you will find links to Kathy's social media and as well. I would recommend that if you happen to have little ones running around this Christmas, pick up a copy of Kathy's book. I think it would be much enjoyed. And also check out her other book, her five novellas, all in one book, All My Tears. To all listeners, I'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire.